When I think back on summertime of the past, I think about exploring, going and checking out random things with friends, and just having a great time. On a recent EPP bonus episode, we heard about a tragedy that tears a friendship apart and leaves nothing but questions in a very paranormal situation. We classified it as one of the best stories we've ever had on the show.
It's really creepy.
If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person on our website at Real Ghost Stories Online. The episode is called Even in Death. Your $5 a month donation to be an EPP gets you access to more than 50 full episodes of our show, exclusive to EPPs, exclusive bonus video content, archived shows, and more. You can't go wrong. You're keeping our show on the air, and you get all these extras. Please consider supporting the show and becoming an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a little girl calls for her mother nightly when she hears the footsteps in the hallway. A young man finds that he enjoys messing with a ghost in the attic. A listener tells of hiding under her bed while an intruder ransacks her home, only there was no one there. And teens that pull a prank to convince others that their school is haunted find themselves the haunted ones. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hi. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was earlier today learning about some of the hauntings at Disney World.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Really?
One of our listeners who goes by Bear, are you familiar?
Yes.
Yeah. He used to work there or something for several years. He posted a video and he put it on our Facebook page if you want to see it. It's under whatever category that falls into where it's listener posted stuff, and it's from his video blog thing, and it's a full account of about 10 minutes worth of him sharing the stories of basically giving you the ghost tour of the Florida Disney properties.
Really?
Okay. And it's interesting. He said that when he worked there, he would unofficially sometimes give the tour to people who knew who he was, and that wanted the unofficial tour, because this is obviously something that the folks there at the Disney don't like to talk about.
Sure.
So I did think there were several that he talked about in his little video.
Okay.
But there was two things that really stood out to me that I thought were pretty interesting. Have you heard of the ghost on the I'd love to hear him share these stories in a call or in a letter, but the one on the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Have not heard about a ghost on there. Now, I knew, I think it was at the Disneyland property, but I'm not quite positive that when they used actual skeletons for the skull and crossbones throughout the ride.
That's true.
Okay.
But this actually has more to do with the construction of the ride and someone dying.
Oh.
And it's now in the Disney protocol, according to Bear, that you have to recognize this ghost every day. If you're an employee there and you're setting up the ride for the morning and ending it at the end of the day. A man named George apparently was working on the ride and on a pretty high up area.
Mm-hmm.
And he said exactly where it was, and it doesn't come to my mind right now. But anyway, this guy falls to his death.
Oh.
And this is in the 70s.
Okay.
When it's being built. And it took hours for anyone to really notice he was there because there wasn't very good OSHA laws at the time.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of by himself working on something, and eventually somebody else found him and he was dead. Anyway, people then started saying that they saw him within the ride in different areas working on things. People have seen him around the park in his work attire working on things. And they've discovered that, and this is all according to Bear, that at the beginning of the day, the employees are supposed to open up the ride and say something to the effect of, "Good morning, George." Hope you can help us have a good day here on the ride. And then apparently the ride goes smoothly throughout the day. There's no breakdowns. It all runs fine. The days that they don't do this, apparently the ride has a lot of issues.
That's interesting.
And gets jammed up or whatever. They have to stop the ride and all of that. And at the end of the day, they're also supposed to say, thank you, George, for helping us today. And close the day by acknowledging George. Or was over the PA. Because this is when they begin the day. They just do it over the PA so everyone knows that the day's beginning. If anyone's working on anything, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Visitors are beginning to come through. So that was interesting. Another thing I found interesting that he talked about was the Haunted Mansion. Now, he said that this is one of the non-haunted areas in the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Magic Kingdom,
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And, however, it is one of the most popular places to spread ashes.
Ew.
Anywhere in the park. And here's the issue. They don't dust the ride.
Oh,
this is one ride they do not dust.
Uh-huh.
Because it obviously keeps the mystique of it up if you don't dust it. So some of the dust you may see floating in the air may not just be dust.
Ew.
So there you go. Inhale deeply.
Oh, yuck.
Next time you're on the Haunted Mansion ride.
Wow. So, yeah, that's not something I wanted to know.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I hope he tells us more haunted Disney stories. Before then, the next time we go there, that would be very interesting because I'd like to wander around and see some of these things.
Sure.
It'd be very fun. So anyway, that's up there. Thank you, Bear, for posting that. We appreciate that. He's submitted some stories, hasn't he, in the past to the show?
He called in,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So interesting stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We can kick it off today with Rebecca. Rebecca writes in, I grew up in a small farming community. At the time, my parents found a steal on a foreclosed farmhouse with 30 acres of land, a barn, camp house, pond, and brick house. To set stage for this, it was the early 90s. The house itself needed a lot of work. It was old and outdated as far as the interior. My parents fell in love with the location, the land, and the idea that it would be a greater fixer-upper. And that's what they did. They ripped up the ugly lime green carpet, exposed beautiful original hardwood flooring. Once the remodel was complete, my bedroom was the original master bedroom of the house. At the end of the hallway, on one of the ends of the house, you had to walk across the entire house to get to the new additions in my parents' room. I always had an awkward, unexplainable feeling at night, almost a dread of nightfall. I was about 12 years old at the time. Wake up in the middle of the night hearing footsteps going back and forth down the hallway. For some reason, I'd always look at my clock, and the time would always be between 1 and 3 a.m. They were quick-paced back and forth, back and forth. The footsteps would continue to the point I would sit up in my bed, fully awake at the time, and yell, Mom, is that you? No response as the steps continued. Baffled and a little scared, I'd get up, walk to my bedroom door, still hearing the footsteps going up and down the hallway. Open the door, and sudden silence. I'd always get a cold chill as I opened the door into the hallway. I'd have goosebumps all up and down my arms and feel my hair standing up as I'd step into the hallway to see if it was my mother. It would literally feel like something rushed me. It's right at the top of me. I jump and scream and run as fast as I could to the opposite end of the house to find both parents fast asleep in their beds, even snoring. This would happen at least 2 to 3 times a week. I'd be so scared that I'd sleep right next to my parents' bed. It got so frequent, they began locking their bedroom door, only to find me sleeping on the floor next to their bedroom door. I'd run to my parents' room every time the footsteps would start and have my mother come to my bed, say a prayer, and hold my hand until I could fall back asleep. I was always embarrassed to tell the story to anyone with fear they wouldn't believe me or think I was crazy. But my best friend would spend the night frequently, and she'd wake me up hearing the footsteps as well. We'd sit up in bed and just listen. One of us would get up to open the door, then silence. Another strange thing is that my entire childhood, from the time we moved into the house until I was 21, I had the same reoccurring dream of being in a different house, and there'd always be one room I could not enter because there was a spirit in that room or a ghost. But every dream I had that had the house in it, the house was haunted. Oddly enough, since I haven't been living in the house, the haunted house dream stopped, as did the fear and dread of nightfall and that creepy cold feeling of someone always watching me and being right behind me when there's no one around. My older brother has bought the house and is raising his family there, and I've had to promise not to bring up my experiences to his kids. My brother lived in the house for a couple of years before he left for college, and it wasn't until I was alone in that end of the house when the activity began. I've heard my niece mention hearing things at night, but my brother would quickly shush her and tell her she was going to scare her little sister, and always shoot me this look as if saying, "You better not say anything." I've always been a bit wary of bringing that subject up with the kids, which are high school and college age now. I'll wrap this up by telling you this is only the beginning of the years of stories I could tell you about. It wasn't until I was 15 that my mother finally, after years of me hearing the footsteps, told me that the family that owned the house before us, the mother had a massive heart attack and passed away in the hallway. She was dead before the ambulance made it there. I asked her why she didn't tell me this before, and she thought I was too young to know that, and it may scare me or freak me out. As you noted previously, I mentioned that when I heard the footsteps, I'd always call for my mother. The footsteps were that of a woman. I'll be running in again soon to tell you even more interesting stories of the farmhouse and my experiences. Like I said, this story is only the beginning. Thank you so much. I love your show. I listen to you regularly, and I'll be signing up to be an EPP. Thank you, and keep up the good work, guys.
I would think that it would make me feel more comfortable to know that it was probably just the mom of the previous family that's wandering the halls, something dark. It's just,
sure,
you know, a mom that probably in reality would be very upset to know how much she scared the kids.
Yeah, and she's just still there.
Yeah.
Still, do you think she, this is where I get confused in stories like this. Do you think the mother realizes that she's dead? Do you think she's just very confused and wondering who these children are running around her house? Or do you think this is not a non-conscious entity? It's just like a residual thing that's going on.
It could be residual. But, you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. I would like to think that she realizes that she's dead and that she just, you know, wants whatever children are in that home to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like all the kids had necessarily a fear of her, because the son obviously grew up and brought his family back to be raised in this house, which it makes you wonder if there was some kind of draw there for him. You know, sometimes you just can't get a house out of your mind and you just have to be there.
Bringing him back to the dead.
I don't know.
That sounds like a song.
Yeah, it does.
Bringing him back to the dead. It or sounds like kind of like something Steely Dan would sing or Gordon Lightfoot.
Wow.
I could see that. It's kind of a folksy song.
No, it's not.
It would come up on our Pandora Gordon Lightfoot station.
Okay.
It would, right after Wreck of the Evans Fitzgerald.
We don't.
Oh, Bringing Him Back to the Dead's playing.
We don't have to share our Pandora station.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Let me go down the list.
Oh, gosh. We have the dorkiest bunch of Pandora stations.
What's fun about our Pandora stations is that our 8-year-old also has access to the account. So every once in a while, there'll be like this slew of like new stations that just pop up on there. And then it's like it goes and plays your most recent station of whoever made it or was playing it. And it's like, what the? I don't even know who half the artists are or what they are or what song is being played. But then sometimes, though, because you're more up on current music than I am, I have to ask, was that a your station or was that a Livy station? Because I don't know sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very obvious.
Sure.
Like when it's summertime, flowers and rainbows radio or something like that. I imagine it's probably not your station.
No.
But the pony one is yours.
No, I don't have any pony stations.
Music to ride a pony to.
I don't ride ponies. God.
I got you to say very angrily, I don't ride ponies. Oh, I love that. That's hilarious. I should like put that on a soundboard. I could just like pop it in every once in a while. Oh, that would be hilarious. In the middle of a really spooky story. I don't ride ponies. Did anyone hear that? Was that an EVP? All right. On with our stories today. Phone number is 855-853-4802, by the way. And Jenny does not ride ponies. Doug writes in. I heard you talking about Kings Park. Check out Letchworth, a closed facility in Rockland County, New York, opened in 1911. Grew to 130 buildings. It was a place for children and many reports of torture, rape, deaths, etc. came over the years. Sounds like a theme park.
No.
No, not at all. A horrible theme park. Many of the buildings are burned out or torn down now, but some still remain boarded up with plywood. If you're as curious as I was, you can pull away the boards enough to investigate. My brother-in-law and I checked out the couple buildings and several floors of one, peeling paint and graffiti cover the walls, and in one area, personnel files were strewn all over the floor. After coming out of one building, we saw a police car sitting in the drive, but the cops never got out to bother us. Given that we were driving a Volvo SUV, they likely assumed we were prospective buyers as the entire site was for sale. There are numerous no trespassing signs, but also for sale signs. In the 50s, the first test ever of a polio vaccine on a human was given there to an 8-year-old boy. And when he had no ill effects, 19 other kids were test subjects as well. It is a scary, scary place with a scary, scary past. There's at least one picture online.
I have not checked into it, but that would be something very interesting to look into.
I could see that being one of those places where some local group goes, hey, let's put our local haunted house here for the JCs or whatever.
Yeah.
And bad things start happening. Haven't we had a story like that once where somebody said, hey, we got our haunted house up in some, you know, abandoned asylum or something?
Yeah, there was. And it was all on the main floor, but people would talk about the ghosts that they see wandering around the second floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was not like, anything they had put there intentionally.
Not part of the attraction, kids. So, that's creepy stuff. Interesting. Thank you for the insight into another asylum that I can just kind of gawk at. I do that. I sometimes will just sit there and just stare at these abandoned building pictures. It's fun.
It is kind of fun.
I don't know why I'm drawn to it, but I am. Joshua writes in, hello, I work nights at a prison and ghost stories run wild, but one I heard really interested me. A friend of mine said when his class finished their training, they were all going out to celebrate with drinks, so he met with one guy to hitch a ride, and when he pulled up, he noticed the attic light on and didn't think too much about it. So he was sitting there with his friend before they left, and he heard the sounds of a rocking chair upstairs, so he asked his friend if anyone else was home, and he said, no, that's Ethel. So, of course, he said, who's that? To which he replied, oh, the ghost in the attic. My friend said, oh, come on. And his friend said, I'll show you. So they went upstairs to the attic, and there was some junk in the corner and an old rocking chair in the middle of the room. His buddy said, here, I'll show you something cool, and took the chair out of the attic and said, Ethel, I'm going to take your chair, but I'll put it right back, okay? And he shut the attic door, and my friend said it sounded like a herd of elephants ran through the attic, destroying everything. He said it was deafening. So they opened the door, put the chair back in, and everything was fine, and nothing up there was touched. When they left in the truck, my friend said that the attic light was still on, and the driver said, oh, watch this. He honked the horn, and a silhouette of an elderly woman rose up and then back down. After listening to your show on my long drive to work from many months now, I've heard these things happening before, but thought it sounded cool. Thank you for your time. I love the show. Have a good day.
That's a short little good story.
Now, obviously, this is one that didn't happen to the writer.
No.
Do you believe it? Do you think it was an embellished story? I mean, I believe he heard it. I'm not questioning that he embellished anything when he wrote into us. I'm just wondering if the friend who told the story to him.
There's always that possibility, but it's not as far-fetched as some of our other stories.
That's true. And a lot of those are first-hand accounts.
Yeah.
It is one of the more plausible ones.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very interesting if our listener here one day got up the courage to go and investigate that one for himself.
Yeah.
Go see what happens when you take the chair away from Ethel. That's interesting that there's that much noise that that comes out for something like that.
She's pissed you took her chair.
But they asked. They said nicely.
No, she didn't say okay. They're just like, we're just going to take your chair just to stir the pot.
Interesting. It's a way to screw with a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really hear her that much.
No.
A lot of times it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time we turn the tables on the dead.
No, I don't think so.
Screwing with ghosts.
That's not a good thing.
That could end up very, very bad. But hey, we could end up with some great content for our show for anyone out there who wants to try it. 855-853-4802. That's the number you call in with your real ghost story. Of course, you can also write in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Carrie writes in, I'm here to ask advice and to share my experiences. I know it's not very good, but I'd like you to read and possibly help me. Ever since I was about 6 or 7 years old, I've had very weird experiences. My first experience of the paranormal was when I was about 7 and a half. I was home alone in my bedroom, playing on my computer. Started to hear little thumps and knocks in the living room. I thought it was just my dog, Max, but it took me a moment to remember that he was at the vet that particular weekend. So I went into the living room with a baseball bat, which I always keep near when I am at home alone. When I got to the living room, I noticed the TV was off and all the doors were locked. No one was in there, so I just went back to my room and continued playing my games. I continued to hear the little thuds and knocks for about 15 minutes until they turned into loud footsteps. I, being only 7, was terrified. I quickly locked my door, hid under my bed, and kept the phone near me. I didn't call 911 because whoever was in the house could hear the call being made. So I waited under the bed, quivering in fear, until my mom called. Now, our house phone setting is weird. Since I was staring at the phone, hoping my mom would call, I didn't even let the phone get to the second ring before I answered. I explained to my mom what was happening. She thought I was just joking until there was a loud bang on the wall in the next room that our phone picked up on. She was still a good 30-minute drive to our house. I stayed on the phone with her the whole time. Outside of my room, you could hear cabinets opening and closing and doors slamming shut. My mom was about 5 minutes away when whatever was outside my room began trying to get into my room. The door handle was shaking violently, and there were bangs on the door. I heard my mom say she was pulling up into the driveway. When she turned the lock on the door and opened it, all the banging stopped. At this point, I was sobbing and clutching my baseball bat. We examined the house together. We found no sign of any forced entry. All the doors were locked, and there was nothing out of place. We even went up to the attic to see if anyone was up there. Weeks went by, and nothing like that happened until I was 9. I was home alone again, but this time I had my dog, Max, with me. I was playing on my computer, and Max started to growl at the doorway of my bedroom. I tried to calm him down, but he wouldn't stop. Instead, he started to bark and bare his teeth at the door. I ignored him and continued playing my games. Max started to whimper, and he yelped and launched out the room like he had been kicked. I sat frozen. I didn't know what to do. I stared at the door for a good 5 minutes before I felt a sudden chill on my neck, and I sprinted out of my bedroom and went over to my grandma's house. The next thing that happened was when I was 11. It was Thanksgiving, and my great-grandma had died. My family was gathered around her body and mourned over the loss. I was over there for a good while before I went home. It was about 12:30 a.m., and my parents and sister were still over at her house. I was tired and decided to go to sleep. I heard rattling. It sounded like pots and pans moving in the kitchen. I grabbed one of my knives that had been lying around and headed to the kitchen. I went in there and saw that the drawer we kept the pots in had been opened and a single pot was lying on the ground before it. I was too tired to care and I went back to bed. I was drifting off to sleep when I heard the sound again. I grabbed my knife again, this time more annoyed than scared, and headed into the living room. You have to go through it to enter the kitchen. Before I could even make it through, I saw the pot in the middle of the living room right in front of the TV. I put up the pan and proceeded back to my grandma's house. nothing happened for another year or so. I was 13 and a curious, bored teenager. My friend had a Ouija board and decided to bring it over to my house. My sister was over at her friend's house and my parents were out on a date, so my friend and I had the house to ourselves. We decided to play with the board around 12 a.m. We started out with the basic questions, is there anyone who would wish to speak, etc. It took a while, but it eventually moved to yes. I thought my friend was messing with me, but she swore up and down that it was her. My friend decided to start asking questions. I told her not to ask when she would die or does it wish to harm us, basic stuff like that. She ignored me and asked it, do you wish to harm? The pointer then moved to yes, and then moved to each corner of the board and did the infinity sign multiple times. I decided to stop playing and moved the pointer to goodbye and told my friend to take her board with her when she leaves. That night, my friend had stayed up while I slept and said she saw a ball of light come out of nowhere and hit my stomach and disappeared. She left the following morning and nothing happened again for a while. This leads up to the next event. This happened exactly 3 weeks ago. My friend Shelby came over. She hated anything paranormal and refused to mess around with the Ouija board or anything of the sort. We decided to take a walk in the woods. My land is right in the middle of a national forest, so there's plenty of woods around there. There's a POW camp about a mile down the road from my house, and if you go to the woods, you can usually find spearheads and other stuff from Native Americans. Just as we're about to enter into one of the many paths we have in the woods, we heard a branch cracking. He said it was probably an animal, but this animal was really heavy. You could hear its loud footsteps coming towards us at a fast pace. We bolted from the woods to my old house. I used to live in a trailer until I was 5, so we moved into on the land we own now. We entered the trailer and started to explore. We thought that whatever that was in the woods was probably gone. We started to look in boxes my family had left behind and found stuff we liked. I was picking up a knife set I was left behind, putting into my pocket, just as we heard a loud crashing noise in the room next to the one we were in. We ran out of the house, and as we were running, we heard another loud thud from right behind Shelby. We quickly exited the trailer and closed the door. We bolted to my current house, which is about an acre away, and ran inside, locked all the doors, turned on all the lights, and turned the TVs off. We entered my bedroom and sat on my bed. As we sat there, we could hear thuds and footsteps in the kitchen, and we heard one of the TVs turn on. I thought someone had broken into my house and grabbed my knife and equipped Shelby with a bat. I slowly entered the living room and turned off the TV. The back door was unlocked and the cabinets of the kitchen were opened. The lights for the kitchen were turned off. I searched every nook and crevice of my house, but no one was there. I locked the back door and turned the kitchen light back on. Shelby and I went back into my bedroom and stayed there for another 10 minutes before the thud started again. But this time they were outside of my door and you could see a shadow in the crack below the door. This went on for another 20 minutes before I had enough and quickly opened my door, hoping to catch whatever was outside of it. When I opened it, I realized no one was there. I called Shelby to come over and I told her we're going to go over to my grandma's house. We went there until my parents came home, and the next morning Shelby left very quickly. I don't blame her. Ever since then, things have been getting worse. Now, whenever anybody is sleeping, I can hear loud breathing in my ears. Just last week, I felt like I was suffocating in my bed around 2 a.m. while I was talking to my friend. After I could breathe again, I coughed for a good 15 minutes. Just yesterday, I felt something grab my shoulder and squeeze. Should I seek help or deal with this on my own? Community?
Yeah, we need to open that one up. You know, with the things in the area that she explained, that they can find artifacts in the woods on their property from Native Americans and, you know, a POW camp that was down the road. It's hard to know where this energy is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine the fear that mom felt when she had her 7.5-year-old on the phone.
Yeah.
thinking somebody had broken in.
I suppose it's somewhat comforting when it's a ghost.
Yeah, I guess.
One of the few cases where, oh, thank goodness, it was just a ghost.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that would be terrifying. There's something that it sounds like doesn't want you there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it probably is something to do with the land. That's kind of what I'm getting out of this. Maybe more than one thing that's going after you.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, it did flat out say it does want to harm you. I don't know if I would say it's something demonic or if it's just something that was on the land before you.
Yeah.
And still wants the land.
That, and with the animal type presence out in the mm-hmm. woods, it just, I don't know. I think it's very much a dark spirit, but maybe not demonic.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Regardless of whatever it is. Thank you for writing in and sharing that story with us. The phone number, 855-853-4802 to call in to Real Ghost Stories Online, or go to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and share your story there. And of course, whatever platform you listen to us on, we're on a lot of them. If you're a new listener and you found us on one, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, lots of places you can download our show from. So be sure to choose the one you like, press subscribe, and don't miss any future episodes of the show. Tegan writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Tegan. I wrote in about the little girl in the cellar of my temporary home. It was awesome hearing my story on your show. I thought to help you better understand what our situation was, so I want to tell you a few more stories from the beginning. Like I said before, our home burnt down, and we had to go live in temporary housing. And the first time walking in, you could feel the bad energy. Along with the energy already in the house, we were only carrying more. The stress from our house fire, being further away from our friends and our school and our parents, not getting along, added to the energy. This almost immediately started up once we finished moving and was rather scary from the beginning. One day, when my mother was making dinner and was alone in the kitchen while all of us were in our room or someplace else, she started hearing whispering. And as the whispering started, she was able to breathe, and then it grew louder and louder, and then distorted into a growl, and then immediately stopped, and she could breathe again. Then after that, we started hearing what sounded like two people running, and sounds of thuds like things were being thrown around. Of course, upon going upstairs to see what had fallen, nothing was out of place. One day, I invited a friend over, and we were playing hide-and-seek. She counted, and I hid. I hid in the closet, what was supposed to be my two brothers' room. We paused for a minute and mentioned, along with my father, mother, younger brother, and I, that I've already mentioned I have had two older siblings, another brother and a sister, but shortly after moving in, they both moved out, my sister to my grandma's and my brother to his girlfriend's. So it was supposed to be the two boys in one room and two girls in another, in my parents' room. So I hid in the closet because it had a slanted wall I could climb up in a little cubby-like area that I could hide under that only my brother and I knew about. All I could feel once I settled in was fear, like I was trapped in the little girl. I believe it was her feelings that I felt. I felt like it was something worse, like something worse would happen to me. I couldn't move until I finally heard my friend. I came out and told her. I didn't want to play that anymore and never told her what happened, but I think she felt something too, because after that, she never wanted to come over again. A night later, we started hearing the closet doors rattle and little girls screaming and crying at times. That's when my little brother started sleeping with me. Consider part of my story, I call the house from hell. More to come, guys, including an instance on physical interaction between something sinister and my little brother.
I think it probably was the little girl's feelings that she was picking up, mm-hmm. the emotions and the fear. And I can imagine if that little girl had been locked in the closet quite often in life, that she probably had a lot of energy expelled in that room mm-hmm. where Tegan was hiding.
And she's feeling it mm-hmm. still. Yeah. That's a sad story.
It is.
Disturbing
sad.
Story, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, we would love to hear more because that's what we do. So, 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Candace Hello again. I'm Candace from Central Virginia. I sent in a story that you so graciously shared on your episode entitled Ominous Occupant that I shared about an old schoolhouse building that I'm associated with. Before I go any further, I just wanted to let you know that it made my day. And it's a good thing I was by myself when I heard it, because I squealed out loud. I'm part fangirl. This happens often, LOL. That, I'm sure, I would have hurt someone's ears. So thanks again. The story I wanted to share this time involves that same building. Quick recap, the schoolhouse building was built back in the 1930s and was originally a black high school. Time went on, and in the 60s, the building became an elementary school that my own mom went to. The ugly paint colors used back in those days are still in the walls in some places, or showing through the peeling paint in top of it. Very creepy. Anyway, back in the early 2000s, a building was purchased and operated by my church for use as a private Christian school that I graduated from. Our school wasn't the stereotypical private school. We got all the kids that got kicked out of public school and didn't have anywhere else to go. You know, the kids who called bomb threats, the goths, the girls that had babies before they had diplomas, people I came to know as friends. Being something of an unconventional institution leads such a location to serve as the landscape for less than conventional happenings, such as the paranormal happening that causes me to write today. Sometime in the mid-2000s, a few of the staff members, a couple of students, thought it would be a funny joke to play on folks if they faked a ghost video being captured. One of the security cameras we to this day keep running around the building. The scheme was to get an individual who's known for his anti-nonsense-ness, that made sense, right? To pretend to see a ghost in the downstairs hallways outside of what we call the boiler room, which is creepy in its own right. One of the students in on this dressed in all black garb, including a black leather duster, think Blade, and stood just barely in the frame of the camera, while the older gentleman stood clearly in the frame and acted like he saw something, got scared, ready to fight it, and after a few moments, the apparition of my friend would disappear out of the frame. They made the video, creeped a few folks out, and saying something like this only supported the idea that the place was haunted in the minds of many associated with the schoolhouse building. Only a handful of people knew that the video was a complete fake. We had a good laugh about it for a while. That was until a few weeks later when the guy that wore the duster and another classmate of ours happened to be in the boiler room I mentioned earlier and saw what they both described as a head coming up out of the water in the floor of the boiler room. That sent them screaming, shaking like leaves in fear of what they had seen. Sure, initially the first thought is that they were just pulling another joke, but the fear they seemed to express at that sight was rather convincing. It convinced students and staff alike one of these dudes probably couldn't pull off a joke like that. So who knows if they stirred something up, as it were, when they were joking around the first time. Who knows if something that might have liked to have been on camera, for real, thought it might have it say. One thing's for sure, I've been in and out of that building for over 15 years and I can't go in that room by myself. It's already got an aura about it that leaves even the bravest uneasy. Sorry for the long story, but your episode School Days made me think about this story, and I thought I'd share it. Love the show. Keep it up. God bless. Looking forward to hearing more.
I think it's kind of funny that the prankster got pranked.
It is. Do you think the ghost felt that it didn't get its time that it deserved?
Yeah, kind of like, you're going to come in here and pretend to be something scary. I'm going to show you something scary.
Do you think that I was almost waiting for them to get, we looked at the video again and there was another thing in there that we, you know,
sure,
another entity or something of that nature. Creepy building, lots of energy. And I can imagine what that must feel like in there.
Well, and I can imagine a boiler room being a prime location because of the mechanical and the,
sure,
the water and everything, that if something has the ability to manifest, it's going to do it easiest probably in that room.
Yeah, it water,
mm-hmm,
and all the energy. It's one of the prime places to do just that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I got a letter sent in directly to me.
Aren't you special?
It's just to me.
fine.
Hi, Tony. I love your voice. No, I'm kidding.
It better not be.
No, it's just a ghost story. Okay. So I thought I would read it.
Sure.
So here we go. Hi again. While I am a skeptic, I do have three more ghost-type stories to tell. This will be my second story, and it will be quite short, unlike my first email. My apologies if my first story was excessively long. This story will be only slightly excessively long. This unexplained event happened about 7 years ago. My wife and I were having fights over issues with her father. I never met her father as he lived overseas in the Philippines. He'd been suffering from lung cancer, and my wife wanted to send money overseas to help him out of chemotherapy and a lung biopsy. The amounts of money she was asking to send were quite excessive, and that I did not really buy into the story that her father was ill. I'd heard stories that he was an alcoholic, abusive, a gambler, and mistreated his daughters, including my wife. My wife and he were not on speaking terms, but she told me that it was her duty to help her father in his time of need. I once asked my wife if her father approved of me when she told him we were getting married, and she said that he probably would not like me because I was unemployed and on sick benefits. She said her father had a shotgun he would use to scare off possible suitors, that he definitely would have used it on me, especially because he did not like overweight people. I laughed off the comments, while at the same time I felt my feelings being slowly hurt. I'd made his mental image that her father was quite the asshole, thus I did not like him, as he most probably did not like me, despite not ever meeting each other. Since I never let my wife send money to him, because quite frankly I did not believe he was sick, we began fighting over it. My wife would send money secretly to him, and I did not approve. One day I heard horrible news that her father had suddenly passed away from respiratory failure, much sooner than expected. He'd only been diagnosed a few weeks prior, and my wife, who, while did not get along with her father, still felt incredible grief. Instead of crying, she became quiet, and over the next few weeks, she would use any instance to channel that grief into anger towards me. After a month or so, things simmered down, and my wife was almost back to normal. We were no longer fighting, but things did feel rocky between her and I. One day, we were at a Chinese takeaway ordering ourselves some dinner, and we had just sat down at the waiting area, passing time as our food was being prepared. There was a small girl playing with her toys in a small room about 10 feet away from us. My wife and I just sat there quietly, and we could see this girl giggling, playing with her toys, and not paying attention to any customers. Then the little girl suddenly stopped playing with her toys, stood up. She just stood there for a good 30 seconds, and then robotically turned towards my wife and I. She walked straight to me with her expression being quite vacant. She then leaned towards me and whispered in my ear, "I know you love her. You take good care of her." She then just turned around and walked towards her toys and began playing as normal. My wife asked me what she said, and I replied, she said she knew a secret ingredient and didn't want to tell me. My wife replied, "It's probably the MSG in soy sauce." And she smiled. I laughed nervously, and it took about 2 years for me to tell my wife what the little girl had said. I took that long to tell my wife because, one, she was still grieving, and two, it had really freaked me out, and I honestly thought I was temporarily possessed and wanted to forget about it and not talk about it. When I finally told my wife the truth, she replied, "I hope my dad will pull your leg in your sleep tonight." I smirkingly replied, "Thank God the little girl didn't have a shotgun." My wife laughed, and things have been good between us ever since. I do love my wife, and I do my best to take care of her, as a little girl had requested. That is my short, true, ghost-ish story. I have two more ghost events to tell you. One is quite short and involves a mannequin, and the other is quite intricate, and one of the scariest things that has ever happened to me. And all started from an EVP. When I'm in the mood, I'll write it up, and I'll send it your way. Thanks, Tony C.
I like that.
There you go.
That was a good one.
The dead dad possessed a little girl at a Chinese restaurant.
Hey, he got his message across.
It worked.
Now, did he really possess her, or was she in there playing and then he showed up and said, "Go tell that guy this"?
I would hope that would be how it occurred.
Yeah.
And not so much the possession angle of things. And then go up to the counter and use keyword Kung Pao and get a free order of Kung Pao chicken.
That's nice.
And that's what the other little girl said. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how I would react if something like that happened. Would you immediately tell me if you heard something like that?
Yeah, because I can't keep my mouth shut.
I think I would say it without even thinking of like any sort of repercussion. I would just be like, oh my God, listen to this.
But I would think that it would help. Or I'd hope that it would.
I think it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. You know, how open they are to this stuff. And we talk about this stuff every day. So, I mean, to us, yes. And to a majority of our listeners, yes. It just really kind of depends. But very interesting story. Thank you for writing in and sharing that that story with us. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. It is only $5 a month. And your support keeps our show on the air. So think of that. Huh? You can get more than 50 bonus episodes to listen to as well. Brand new ones every single week. Jam-packed with some of our creepiest stories ever. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, and help keep the show going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.